طيب،
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. Let us continue with the topic that we started previously concerning the rights of husband and wife in Islam, or marital rights in Islam. And just let me mention as a reminder to us of the importance of this topic, although perhaps those who are married realize how important it is, in that there may be some things that we have not been fulfilling or implementing in our marriage due to the fact that we didn't know, or we forgot, or we took it lightly. It is a good reminder. As for those who are not married, maybe it's not so important to them, and they cannot use this information presently, unless they consider that they will marry soon, inshallah, and they will be in need of it. If we just remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in authentic hadith, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَقْمَلَ نِصْفَ دِينٍ. Whoever or if anyone marries, then they, through marriage, they will have completed or perfected half of the deen, half of the religion. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِي. Then we are ordered to fear Allah, to have taqwa concerning the remaining half. If we fulfill our obligations in marriage and live our life, our marriage life, as it has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as it has been explained in detail by the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will find happiness and peace and success in this world as well as in the next life. And it will be as though we have completed or perfected half of our religious obligations, or half of our religious life, half of our deen will be perfected in the fulfillment and completion and implementation of the rights and obligations of marriage. Then we are expected and required to fulfill the other half by fearing Allah, that is, obeying Allah's commands and refraining from those things which He has prohibited us in the remaining matters of our life. Of the rights of the husband, which we have not mentioned yet, is his right that his wife should not fast, voluntary fast, siyam, sawm, without his permission. Even though siyam or fasting is an act of ibadah, it is worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet the woman shouldn't do this act of worship specifically without the permission of her husband. She should not. Even though it is good, it is encouraged to fast as much as possible, but the woman who is married should not do any voluntary fasting until she takes permission first from her husband, if he is present. And if he is not away, if he traveled to another land, that's different. But as long as he is present, and in his town, in his country, in his village, he is with her, then she should not intend to do voluntary fast except after taking permission from her husband. This is very important to understand. Especially, it reminds us and makes us to see the importance of learning. Because perhaps sometimes a person may use their intellect without considering the Sharia, without looking in the Quran or Sunnah, but by their intellect, and they might say, according to my thinking, there's no need to ask permission from my husband. If I want to worship Allah, why do I ask him? I don't have to ask him to worship Allah. But in fact, there are some exceptions. The general rule is true that any person, woman or man, young or old, they should worship Allah without anyone's permission. But in marriage, there is some exception, and the exception here is in fasting. This is one of the rights of the man over his wife, that she shouldn't do any voluntary fast without his permission. And that is because of his right to enjoy the marital relations with his wife. This right of the man is an obligation on the woman at every and any time, except in the time when it is prohibited by the Sharia, for a man to have sexual relations with his wife, except in those times when she has menses or after childbirth, when she is still having the postnatal bleeding after childbirth, then that's an exception. But in general, the man is entitled to have marital relations with his wife at any other time, and she should be available for him. For this reason, if she fasts, she will prevent him from his right. She will prevent him. And this could lead him to be exposed to some fitna or temptation, especially since the role of the man is outside of the home and he goes out into the society. Perhaps he may see something outside that may arouse his sexual desires. In that case, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a man sees any woman or anything that attracts his physical da'ani or arouses his physical desires, then he should go to his wife because she has the same thing. This is the solution. When a man sees something outside, he shouldn't seek that woman, but he should go home to his own wife. This is the lawful way and the lawful means of fulfilling the natural inclination or desire that Allah has placed in the human being. If his wife is fasting, he will not be able to have relations with her. For that reason, she shouldn't fast until she took permission from him first. Because protecting his purity has precedence, or takes precedence, protecting him from falling into the commission of such an act, it is more important than her voluntary fast. Yani, preventing this kind of harm from taking place, or this type of act from taking place, it is a very harmful thing and a destructive thing in the society. Preventing it takes precedence over the good or the benefit that she wants to gain from her fasting. And this is based on the rule that we studied more than once before in our fiqh classes. Does anyone remember? Walaikum salam. Dar al-mafasid muqaddim ala jalb al-masalih. That preventing or pushing away some harm or evil has precedence over seeking or gaining some beneficial thing. Well, this rule should be very familiar to us. What makes this clear is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and a similar narration has been reported from Aisha radiallahu anha. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَن تَسُومَ وَزَوْجُهَا شَاهِدْ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. That it is not lawful, not halal for a woman to fast while her husband is present, except after taking his permission. And of course, the intended meaning here of fasting is voluntary fasting. And it has been reported as such exactly, the mention of voluntary fasting in some of the narrations of hadith. And this is because the obligatory fast, is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the right of Allah has precedence over the right of the husband. Yani if it is obligatory fasting, like in Ramadan, then she doesn't ask her husband's permission. And she doesn't pay any mind to what he may say if he told her, don't fast today. If it is in Ramadan, she is obligated to fast. The right of Allah has precedence over the right of her husband. So we are talking here about voluntary fast. And here we might look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ya ma'ashar al-shabab, ya ma'ashar al-shabab, yani, O assembly of youth, من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. Whoever, any one of you, the young people especially, who is able to fulfill the obligations of marriage, فليتزوج, then he must marry. Yani marriage is not something optional in Islam, but it is an obligation on every person who is able that they must marry. Whoever from amongst you is able, then he must marry. فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج. Because this marriage is the most effective way of lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts. If a man marries, it enables him to lower his gaze. If he fears Allah, then he is easily able to turn away from women when he saw them in the street. He would not look at them. He would turn away easily. And he will protect his private parts from doing any unlawful act. Because he is married, he has a wife, no problem. The Prophet ﷺ said that this is the most effective means of lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِيرْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالثَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. But whoever is not able to marry, then he is obligated to fast, then he must fast as much as possible. For verily fasting will be for him وِجَاءٌ. وِجَاءٌ means it will be a means to reduce the sexual drive. Just as castration reduces the sexual drive of the man physically, fasting also has the same effect, and fasting is lawful in Islam for this purpose. So whoever is not able to marry, marriage is the first way to lower one's gaze and protect the private parts. But whoever is not able to marry, then they should fast, because fasting serves the purpose of reducing, yani protecting the person from falling into illegal acts, yani the desires of marriage. So here in this hadith, it becomes clear to us that the problem that we find, especially in the Western societies, of fornication and adultery, that's widespread, yani to a level that's completely unimaginable. Even maybe 20 or 30 years ago, even in the Western society, they could never have dreamed that their society would be the way it is today with the spread of fornication and adultery to the extent that it has spread today. And I can testify to this, that when I was a teenager, there was no such thing as you find in American society today, the looseness and promiscuity and just the lack of any restraint between male and female in sexual relations. The only thing that has restrained them a little bit in these recent days is AIDS, yes. It has restrained them. Some of them are afraid of this. But only this. So here we find that marriage is a means to lower the gaze and to protect the private parts. But whoever is not able to marry, they should fast. Fasting is also, yeah, and it serves this purpose. But if someone is married, then yani, the protection for them is that they should go to their wife. That's why yani, the scholars said that the woman who is married, she shouldn't do voluntary fasting except asking permission from her husband. It has also been reported in the hadith of Al-Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, and others on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. He was from the Ansar and one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He and his father also were companions. Not only Abu Sa'id, but also his father was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was one of the most prolific narrators of hadith, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. He was of the top 7 reporters or narrators of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in an authentic hadith, Shaykh al-Albani said that hadith meets the requirements of al-Shaykhain, that is al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the conditions of al-Bukhari and Muslim, the isnad of this hadith of Abu Dawood. He said, جاءت امرأة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن عنده. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while we were sitting with him. فقالت يا رسول الله إن زوجي صفوان ابن معطل يضربني إذا صليت ويفطرني إذا صمت ولا يصلي صلاة الفجر حتى تطلع الشمس. She said, O Messenger of Allah, verily my husband Safwan ibn Mu'attal, he hits me if I pray, he beats me, and he orders me to break my fast when I fast. And he himself doesn't pray Salatul Fajr, the prayer of the dawn, until the sun rises. And he doesn't perform the dawn prayer until sunrise. The narrator said, وَصُفْوَانْ عِنْدَنَا. Yani, Sufwan, her husband, was sitting also in that majlis, in that group of people with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَسَعَلَهُ عَمَّا قَالَتْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him about what she said. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Then he answered, explaining what his wife accused him of. He said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمَّا قَوْلُهَا يَضْرِبُنِي إِذَا صَلَّيْتُ فَإِنَّهَا تَقْرَأْ بِسُورَتَيْن وَقَدْ نَحَيْتُهَا. And he said, as for her claim that I beat her if she prays, he said, verily she reads 2 chapters of Quran, not one. When she prays, she reads long. So I prohibit her from that. Not from praying, but from this lengthy praying. And I hate to her. فَقَالَ The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ كَانَتْ سُورَةً وَاحِدَةً لَكَفَتَ النَّاسِ. يعني it's sufficient to recite one chapter. No need to go further than this. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهَا يُفْتِرُنِي فَإِنَّهَا فَانْطَلِقْ فَتَسُومْ وَأَنَا رَجُلْ شَابْ فَلَا أَصْدِرُ. He said, as for her claim that I order her to break her fast, she is constantly fasting. She fasts all the time, and I am a young man. I can't bear it. And he was a young man. A young man is not like an old man. He is in need of his wife. And if she's fasting all the time, he has no access to her. So he complained against this. He said, I am not patient with this. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. On that day, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَا تَسُومْ إِمْرَأَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ زَوْجِهَا. That no woman should fast. Voluntary fast, it means. No one should fast except with permission from her husband. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهَا إِنِّي لَا أُصَلِّي حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسِ فَإِنَّا أَهْلُ بَيْتٍ قَدْ عُرِفَ لَنَا ذَاك لَا نَكَاد نَسْتَيْقَدُ حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسِ. He said, as for her claim that I don't pray the dawn prayer until the sun rises, really we are a people from a house, from a family that's well known about this, that we have difficulty in waking up early. We almost don't wake until the sun rises. Yeah, and we just barely wake up before sunrise. قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظْتَ فَصَلِّي. Then, as soon as you awake, when you awake, then immediately you should pray, without delay. And if the prayer should be prayed at dawn, but if anyone woke up late, then he should pray immediately. This hadith has been reported in some of the narrations. In one of the narrations, Abu Dawood, لَا تَسُومْ الْمَرْأَى وَبَعْلُهَا شَاهِدٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ غَيْرَ رَمَضَانِ. That no woman should fast without permission of her husband while he's present, other than Ramadan. Yani Ramadan, that's an exception. She doesn't have to ask his permission. It's clear in this narration. And in another narration that's reported by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, when it said, لَا تَسُومُ الْمَرْأَةُ وَزَوْجُهَا شَاهِدٌ يَوْمًا منا غير شهر رمضان إلا بإذنه. That a woman should have fast while her husband is present, not even one day other than the month of Ramadan, except by his permission. And in the narration of Ad-Darimi, he said, لا تصوم المرأة يوما تطوعا. That no woman should fast a day voluntarily. تطوعا, voluntary fast. في غير رمضان وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه. يعني outside of Ramadan, while her husband is present, except with his permission. So in these narrations, it becomes clear that the woman shouldn't do voluntary fast without her husband's permission. This is the right of the husband in marriage. Be aware of such. Of course, the man shouldn't use this right to prevent his wife from doing good. He should encourage her to fast. He should encourage her to fast. Even if he told her, even if he said to her, don't even ask me. If you have the inclination to fast for the sake of Allah, fast. Okay, he may tell her such. But if he didn't tell her, then she should tell him first that I want to fast. Do you have any objection? And if he gave her permission, then fast. But he should work with her. If a man has a wife that loves to fast, inshallah, he should help her in doing good. This is part of, this is a basic principle in Islam. Ta'awun ala al-birri wa taqwa. That we should cooperate in doing righteousness and good. Another right of the man in marriage is the obligation of his wife to be grateful, to be thankful for whatever good he has done for her. This is a right that the man has in marriage. Whatever he does for his wife, that he is obligated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do, or that which he does voluntarily, extra from the goodness of himself, all of that, whatever, whether it's from the obligations or voluntary things that he does for her, entitles him to see from her that she is grateful. She should express her gratitude and thankfulness. Just as we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever he has given us of good in this world, the woman also should be thankful to her husband. Because on the worldly level, he is responsible for whatever comes to her of good, housing, clothes, food, whatever. He is responsible to provide for her. That's one of her rights, that he provides for her. And his reciprocal right is that she should be thankful. And she should show it. The woman being thankful to her husband is one of the greatest rights that a man has in marriage. How could it not be so? When he is the one who provides for all of her needs and looks after her, attends to her, protects her. When the woman leaves the house of her father at the time of her marriage and she transfers to the house of her husband becomes totally responsible for her, to look over her, to protect and to preserve her honor, dignity, and so on. And he tires himself in working hard and going out and doing whatever he has to do in order to feed her and clothe her and house her in that way that is suitable for the level of that she comes from in the society, to put her in a good place and to clothe her with decent clothing and to feed her with at least the bare minimum, if not more than that. He is expected to protect her honor and dignity and to prevent any disgrace from coming to her. And he is the one who will be questioned in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah about his wife. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. In the very famous hadith, it is reported that he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is ra'in. Ra'in is a shepherd, but we can say more broad than that. It means the one who is responsible for something, to look over something, to be responsible for the maintenance and protection and guidance. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولْ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. And every one of you will be questioned about that which is under your care or your custody. Every one of you is responsible and will be questioned about those or whatever is under your care. وَالرَّجُلُ رَعِنْ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْعُولْ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. The man is the ra'in, the shepherd or the responsible person for his family, for his wife as well as his children, and he will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he handled that responsibility that Allah has given him. If this is so, and it is, then we do not expect that such care and concern and effort that the man puts out for his family to put them in the best situation, in the best condition, to keep her pleased and happy and comfortable and make her life pleasant for her, he should do the best that he can to do so. And if he does what he is supposed to do, then we do not expect that that effort that he makes should be met except by an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, an expression of pleasure for all that he has done for her in fulfilling her rights that she has over him, and more than that. Do we expect that if someone does good to another, that they should return that good with anything except also good? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هَلْ جَزَاءَ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ That is the reward or the recompense for al-ihsan, anything except al-ihsan. If anyone does good, then should the reward that comes back to them be anything other than good? This is a principle that Allah has established in the universe. Whoever does ihsan, good, in this world, for sure, the jaza, the reward that they will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better than whatever they have done. But not only for Allah, but also for the creatures. Whoever does good to someone, then we expect that that good should be returned. We don't expect that good should be returned with evil. If someone treats you good, that you return that good with evil. We don't expect such. Especially in the marriage relationship, which is the most important relationship of cooperation in the whole society. This is the original situation that we expect to find in marriage between a husband and wife. But the reality of the matter is, in a marriage, sometimes there are some shortcomings and there are some faults and there are differences, disputes, arguments that may take place. That is likely to happen. And it is expected that it will happen, no doubt about it. Anyone that's been married more than a day, they can bear witness that there has to be some difference of opinion from some time or another. And shaitan is eager to take advantage of such situation. Shaitan, la'natullah alayhi, is eager to take advantage of this situation and to try to make that woman forget whatever her husband has done for her of good. To cause her to forget all the service that he has provided her with and the hardship and difficulty that he has suffered in order to keep her happy and pleased. Then she shows ingratitude for the good that he has done for her. And this ingratitude, in response to the good that has been done to her, could be the cause of her entering the hellfire. And we seek refuge in Allah from this. It has been reported in the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumullah, may Allah's mercy be upon them, in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. In that hadith, and there are longer narrations of it, but in this narration, which is short, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uritu an-nar, I was shown the fire. فَإِذَا أَكْفَرْ أَحْلِهَا النِّسَى And what I saw in the fire, that most of the people of the fire were women. This hadith, really, it should be explained in detail so that people don't misunderstand. But I think, inshallah, that we are mature people and we are intelligent Muslims who understand something about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so, then it is right and it is correct. Even if perhaps some of us might not understand how. It is a fact. And there is a reason for it. He said that he was shown the fire and that most of the people of the fire were women. Most of the people in the world are women also, by the way. There are more women than men. That's a fact. Maybe twice as many women as men. So just, by statistics we can say most of the people in the world are women, so perhaps most of the people also
to be in the hellfire with him. But what is the reason for such?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِهَا النِّسَاءُ يَكْفُرْنَا,
that most of the people of the hellfire were women. They were making kufr. They were doing kufr, disbelief.
Also, kufr, linguistically, is the opposite of shukr.
Kufr is the opposite of shukr.
That means that shukr is thankfulness or gratitude, and kufr is ingratitude. And the highest form of ingratitude is ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kufr that we generally refer to when we say disbelief. The ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has given us in this world. This is the highest form of kufr. But any ingratitude is kufr. Kufr is the opposite of shukr.
He said, يَكْفُرْنَا قِيلَ أَيَكْفُرْنَا بِاللَّهِ.
They said, they understood when he said kufr that he means disbelief in Allah. As we normally understand when we say kufr, they say, أَيَكْفُرْنَا بِاللَّهِ. Are they disbelieving in Allah?
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يكفرنا العشيرة.
He said, no, they are ungrateful, or they have shown ingratitude to their husbands.
العشيرة.
ويكفرنا الإحسان. And they are also showing ingratitude towards الإحسان, the good that has been done for them.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then made a statement, and it is true. He is as-sadiq al-masduq. He is the one who is most truthful and who is believed. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported in the authentic hadith, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah, is the most truthful and the most believed in what he says. Please pay attention.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو أحسنت إلى إحداهن الدهر ثم رأت منك شيئا قالت ما رأيت منك خيرا قط.
He said to the men that if you did ihsan, good, so much good to one of those women, الدهر, for your whole, a whole lifetime, a whole year, it means a year and it also means a lifetime. And for a long time, if you did so much good for them for a long time, then one day, ثُمَّ رَأَتْ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا, one day they saw something from you, and something they are not pleased with, then they would say, I didn't see any good from you ever. And you never did anything good.
Is this the description of all women?
Of course not. Of course not.
Alhamdulillah, this is not the description of the righteous Muslim woman.
The Muslim woman who believes in Allah and fears Allah and loves Allah, this is not a description of her. This is a description of those women who are going to be in the hellfire.
This is not a description of our wives and our sisters and our daughters who love Allah and who try to worship Allah. This is not the description. They are not like this. But these are the women who the Prophet ﷺ said that أكثر أهلها النساء. Most of the people of the hellfire are women, meaning these women. Those women who are ungrateful to their husbands, even though their husbands treat them well, and try to, as best they can, to provide for them, and to protect them, and to guide them, and to help them, and to keep them happy, and do whatever they can for their sake and for their benefit, they are still ungrateful. And if he made one mistake, he said a word, harsh word to them, or didn't give them something one day, or maybe he got upset and hit her or something, and he was wrong for doing so. She said he never did any good in his life.
These are not our women. These are the women of hellfire, who he has described here.
Alhamdulillah, our women are not like this.
And if they find themselves acting like this in any way, they should remind themselves that we are not the people of this description. The people of paradise, they are not from this description.
Our sisters, please think about this and consider this and fear Allah.
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in authentic hadith reported by Al-Hakim and others, Al-Nasa'i, Al-Tabrani, Al-Bazzar, and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani in his book Al-Sulsula Al-Sahihah, said that hadith is sahih. on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا ينظر الله إلى امرأة لا تشكر لزوجها وهي لا تستغني عنه. That Allah will not look at a woman who is not thankful to her husband while she is in need of him. She is in need of him to take care of her, to protect her, to guide her, to help her, to assist her. Yani, in this marriage relationship, as we said before, and we will continue to say, the marriage relationship is a relationship of cooperation, where both sides have a role to play, and both are in need of the other. But in terms of these things that the man provides for the woman, it is as Allah created him to take this role. And her role is as Allah created her. And she is in need of him for those things that Allah created him to provide for her. And while she knows that she is in need of him, perhaps she has wealth. Perhaps she might have more than him. She might have a better job than him. That happens sometimes. But not only wealth we are talking about here. We're talking about more than that. The man in marriage provides more than wealth for his family. He also looks out for the interests of the whole family. He protects them physically and guides them and teaches them and so on. While she is in need of him, in spite of that, she is ungrateful. She doesn't thank him. Allah doesn't look to such a woman. Yani, Allah doesn't consider her. Allah doesn't look at her. Allah is displeased with her. Allahumma musta'an. Also of the rights of the husband is that he has a right that his wife shouldn't pressure him beyond his ability and make hardship and difficulty on him that perhaps will cause innumerable problems for the man and for his family as a whole. The man has a right that he should maintain his family according to his ability, and his wife shouldn't press him beyond his ability, put pressure on him that he cannot bear. The cause, maybe perhaps the first cause of the destruction of the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, as it is reported in authentic hadith from Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah, rahimahullah, not in his book of the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah, but in another book, Kitab al-Tawheed. Ibn Khuzaymah was a great scholar of hadith, and also he was a scholar in general who wrote many books about Islamic aqidah, and from amongst his books of aqidah is al-Tawheed. In that book, he reported a hadith under the chapter of mention of that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given of the bounties of paradise. What Allah has given of the bounties of paradise. يعني, from that chapter, we mention the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, wa Jabir radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khataba khutbatan fa'atalaha, wa dhakara fiha amr al-dunya wal-akhirah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a khutbah, a speech, and it was a long speech. It wasn't his habit to give a long speech, but he gave a long speech. From the fiqh or understanding of the Imam, according to authentic hadith, is that the Imam gives a short speech and makes a long prayer. Short speech, short khutbah, and long prayer. This is an indication that the Imam has fiqh, has understanding of the deen. But on this occasion, if it is necessary, the khutbah may be long. Sometimes it is necessary. Even the Prophet ﷺ sometimes gave a long khutbah. One time he gave a khutbah from morning until evening. It's authentically reported. In any case, but he stopped to pray. Not like our people in America. They give 15-hour khutbahs and they don't pray. But he gave a khutbah and he talked very long, and he mentioned in it the matter of ad-dunya and al-akhirah, of this world and of the next life. فَذَكَرَ أَنَّ أَوَّلْ مَا حَلَكَ بَانُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةَ الْفَقِيرِ كَانَتْ تُكَلِّفُهُ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ أَوْ السَّبْغِ أَوْ قَالَ مِنَ الصِّغَةِ ما تكلف امرأة الغني. This is the important part of the hadith. Then he went on to mention a story that's also reported by Al-Imam Muslim of a woman who was very short, and she went out to disguise herself with two tall women. She took some wooden legs, pegs to walk on to make herself tall, and they were out in the street doing something. When they sent someone to follow them, they identified the two tall women, but they couldn't identify the short woman. Because she was really short, but by putting on those, what do you call those things? She made herself tall, wooden legs. In any case, that hadith, it is mentioned in this hadith, this story, and it's also mentioned in the Sahih of Muslim, but the important thing here is that he said that the first thing that caused the destruction of Banu Israel is that the wife of a poor man, she was pressing him to give to her clothing and things that the wife of a rich man gets from her husband. Is it clear? This was the cause of destruction of Banu Israel. And this hadith is sahih. That the poor woman, she used to demand from her husband what the rich woman demands from her husband. And the rich woman, next door, down the block, she is getting her husband to buy her dresses for 500 riyals, 600 riyals, 2,000 riyals, 10,000 riyals. Yeah, not 500 or 600 riyals, 10,000 riyals. They are buying wedding dresses for 5 and 10 and 20,000 riyals. Then the poor woman, the woman whose husband is poor, she wants also a dress for 10,000 riyals. That's ridiculous. This is the cause of destruction of nations, that a woman is not satisfied for her husband to give her what he is capable of giving, but she wants what the wife of a rich man gives. Her husband is not rich. Unless he was rich when she married him, maybe she has a complaint. But if he was poor like me, when she married him, then what do you want? Right? Like us. All of us. We were poor when our wives married us. We were not rich. So what do they want? Alhamdulillah, they are satisfied with us. But we are talking about other people, not our wives. Really? It is not proper for the Muslim woman to request from her husband more than her needs. More than her needs. She has the right to ask for her needs, but more than that, she shouldn't press him for it. And he doesn't have the ability to give it. She puts pressure on him and makes difficulty for him to spend what he doesn't have the ability to spend, especially if that man has little means. He has little bit of money. He doesn't have much. If she has money, then she should help him. Out of the kindness of her heart, she should help him. This is good. And if a Muslim is encouraged to help the poor, to give to people who are needy, then her husband has more right. If he is needy, she should give to him. Isn't it so? If she has wealth, then she can help him. And she shouldn't take this as, I don't know what to call it. If she gave him something, she can use it against him. Shut up, do what I said. Since I'm giving you money, listen to me. No, she should still obey her husband like she normally does. If she gave him for the sake of Allah, forget about it. You gave it for the sake of Allah, your reward is with Allah. The example for our women in this is the example of Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was rich when he was poor. And she gave for the sake of Allah her wealth freely in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah and for the deen of Islam and for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she never raised herself up beyond her position because she gave from her wealth. She was still humble and submissive to her husband even though she was wealthy and he wasn't, and she gave from her wealth. This is so because the fundamental principle in marriage life is cooperation in righteousness and piety, and in those things that help us to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the doing of good deeds. This is a basic principle that the husband and wife should cooperate with one another, help one another, enforce one another, support one another, encourage one another in those things that are good, in doing of good deeds and acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we find that a woman looks to so-and-so, such-and-such, and she saw, who has whatever, her husband has bought for her certain things, or he has put in their house certain kinds of furniture and appliances. And if you go in some houses, you will find the kitchen is like something out of a magazine. Something out of a magazine, not real. It has so much. Is this a... what? This is someone's home? Yes. Okay, if some woman, she went and saw that, maybe she would say, look what she has, I want also. I want a bigger refrigerator. I want a new dishwasher, automatic. I want whatever, I don't know, whatever they have. Huh? This would be a hardship on her husband. A hardship. She would press him for that which he doesn't have the ability to spend and give him in debt. And this will affect her and harm her and harm her husband and harm her marriage, so that that man will work day and night in order to please her and to fulfill her desires and wishes. He will work day and night, and that will affect their marriage, and it will affect their home. It will affect him fulfilling his rights to Allah. It will affect him raising his children and teaching them properly. And it will not bring it. Now, sometimes there are good men who try to earn their living from halal, lawful means, but their wife pressed them so much. Even if they work day and night, it's not enough. There are some people working day and night. I know some people working three jobs. Three, how is it possible? Yes, three. They are working, just working, working, working. For what? For what? For dunya? For something that's passing? That has no real value? Then if he is not capable to provide for her, he might engage in that which is haram. And that is especially so in the case of the man who might not have strong iman. Who might not have strong iman. Then he might feel that I have to please my wife and fulfill her demands, no matter even if I have to steal, embezzle, whatever I have to do. By unlawful means or lawful, it doesn't matter, I have to provide her. No, that's wrong. Please, sisters, don't push your wives to cause damage to your family, to your children, to your marriage, and to your hereafter, by causing them to do things that would be displeasing to Allah, that which is haram. We fear that when we look at other people, what they have, those who have more than us, it might cause us to be ungrateful and to think insignificant of that which Allah has given us of His bounties. And we know that He has given us much. He has given us Islam. He has given us the proper guidance of Sunnah, of Quran and Sunnah, and correct Aqeedah. He has given us good health. He has given us so many things. Not only food and drink, but He has given us so much. And yet we look at others sometimes, and it causes us to think that what Allah has given us is nothing. And this is dangerous. Perhaps some people will even say, Allah has not blessed me with anything. Some people have this attitude. This is real ingratitude. Kufr and ni'mah. Maybe they believe in Allah, in their aqidah, but they are ungrateful to Allah for what Allah has given them. It has been authentically reported in the Sahih of Muslim, rahimahullah, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." I order you to look at those who have less than you. Look at those who have less than you, who are less fortunate. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. And do not look at those who have more than you, who are above you. They have three or four cars, you only have one. Don't look at those. Look at the one who has a bicycle. Huh? You have a bicycle? Look at the one who has no bicycle. Wallahi, when you go down the street, you'll see some person with a new car, another person with an old car, another person on a bicycle, and another one walking. He doesn't even have a bicycle. No. Look at those who have less than you. This is a command from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. Don't look at those who are more fortunate than you. فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُوا أَنْ لَا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because this, not looking at those who are more fortunate, or looking at those who are less fortunate, and not looking at those who have more than you, this will help you and enable you to avoid looking at the bounties of Allah as being insignificant. It will help you to avoid this attitude that you think Allah hasn't given me much because I don't have a car, or I don't have a new car, or I don't have a home, I don't have a villa, I live in a small apartment, or just a room. No, then you think Allah hasn't given me anything. If you look at those who have less than you, then this will help you to keep the proper attitude. Whoever looks at those who have less than them will praise Allah and be thankful to Allah for the virtues and bounties that He has given them and good health and so on. So consider this, dear sisters, consider this in your relationship with your husband, that if he hasn't been given much from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in comparison to what others have been given, then look at those who have less. And this will help you to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thankful to your husbands. Be satisfied with what Allah has provided your husband with of sustenance and provisions in this world. And know that real affluence is not the one who has more wealth, yani money or property. But really, real affluence is satisfaction of the self, inner satisfaction. This is real affluence. This is the true wealth. In the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumullah, reported from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةُ الْعَرْضِ وَإِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That wealth or affluence is not so much money, who has the most money, but real wealth and affluence is the one who has satisfaction or wealth of the self, the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear to us that real success is not how big your company is, how big your bank account is, how many homes or cars you have, or how far you travel around the world in your vacation. But real success is salvation, being protected from the hellfire and entering the paradise. Whatever we achieve of the benefits of this world, they are passing and they are really insignificant. They have no value in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 185, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul must taste of death. Everyone will die or leave this world. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And you will never be given your full reward except on the day of resurrection. Whatever you do in this world, don't expect to be recompensed fully. But the full reward comes on the day of resurrection. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. But the one who has been removed from the fire and admitted to the paradise, this is the one indeed who has been successful. And know that the life of this world is no more than matal ghurur. It is no more than enjoyment of deception, deceptive things. The matal, the things of this world, of this dunya, whatever it is of material things that we enjoy in this world, they are only matal ghurur, deception. They don't have reality. They are passing deception that will pass away, and the reality is in the next life, and the real success is the one who is saved from the fire and who enters the paradise. Wallahi, the one who is saved from the hellfire has achieved real success. And this is what every Muslim should strive for, should race towards and compete with one another for. Not for compelling of the things of the world, but we should be racing towards the pleasure of Allah, racing towards the forgiveness of Allah, not seeking to be the one that is identified, that people will say, look at him, look at her, he is rich, she is wealthy, they are well-to-do. This is not success. How many people did we see who were wealthy? Filthy rich, as they used to say a long time ago. I don't know if this saying is still present. But their wealth was taken instantly. In the 20s, in the 1920s, in the early part of that century, of this century, the economy fell in America, and the richest people in America, they were committing suicide by the hundreds, because their reality was the dunya, and when it was instantly taken from them, they had millions, it was gone in one day. Not over a period of time, in one day, from rich to poor, they had nothing. They couldn't live anymore. Don't think that those who have much, that they are really successful. Allah may take it from them instantly. And even if He doesn't, for sure, the real success we will see on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Satisfaction of the self, inner satisfaction, it is the real wealth. As it is said, khans, it is the wealth, la yufna, it is the wealth that never disappears, it never goes away, it never ends. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and I close with this hadith that's reported authentically in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah, and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani said that that hadith is hasan. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أصبح منكم آمنا في سربه. Whoever woke up in the morning and he was safe and secure in himself, feeling safe and secure, safety and security. مُعَافًا فِي جَسَدِهِ, having good health, his body is healthy. عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ, and he has enough sustenance just for one day, not for the whole month or till next year, but he has enough sustenance just for that day. Whoever woke up in the morning feeling safe and secure in himself, his health is with him, and he has enough sustenance for just a day and a night. فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا, it is as though the whole world has been collected together for him, that he has everything. This is the reality. That whoever Allah has blessed to have safety, security, good health, and sustenance even for one day, it is as though Allah has given them everything in the world. You should know that Allah has given you much, and you should be thankful for it. And don't look at those who have more than you, that you might be dissatisfied, but look at those who have less, so that you may be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thankful to your husbands, who are your protectors and providers. And brothers, we should try to fulfill our role, to provide for, and to take care of, and to look after, and to help our wives, and strengthen them, and give them whatever they need, to cooperate with one another, to consult with one another, and to work with one another, in order to be successful in our marriage, and in order to be successful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any comments or questions or corrections before the before we go to the salat, there's just maybe one moment or so, I don't know. Yes. Any questions from the brothers, sisters? Tayyib. Inshallah, next week we will try to complete the rights of the husband. And then we will just mention briefly some of the joint rights between husband and wife and the rights of the children, and we will finish. JazakAllah khair.